As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise amongst the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed with me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of the Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Just a warning, I forgot to put the microphone on. Another warning, I've had like laryngitis this week. I've lost my voice. So if my voice sort of goes a bit, you'll know what's happening, and pray for me. Now, we're going to talk about Psalm 42 today. One of the great things about songs is that they put our experience into words. Now, songs are usually written by someone else, but they help us express how we're feeling. Back when Jasmine and I were dating, you know, we're young and in love. Jasmine did say to me, we're still young and in love. I was like, yes, that's true. But we're sort of newly dating. Jasmine goes away to spend the summer in Sydney with her dad. And I miss her so much. And I distinctly remember sitting and listening repeatedly to this to that Three Doors Down song, I'm Here Without You. I don't know if you know the one. It's, I'm here without you, baby, but you're still on my lonely mind. I think about you, baby, and I dream about you all the time. It's a song that put words into how I was feeling. Or a few years ago, when I got back from a long trip overseas, the Jetstar plane lands, the seatbelt sign clicks off, I breathe a sigh of relief. Oh, I'm home. On comes the music over the loudspeakers on the plane, Peter Allen's I Still Call Australia Home. Here's the song that captures exactly how I feel right now. Well, we often look back at songs we sung in the past. We say things like, that was the song of my generation. You know, that song tells you everything about what it was like to grow up in the, 70s or 80s or 90s or noughties or whenever it was. See, songs can put words to our experience in a way that we never could. And the Psalms are a book of 150 songs that express the experience of God's people. They're songs for Christians to sing in all the ups and downs of life. Often we don't know what to say or how to say it, yet the Psalms give us words to speak, even words to sing. And the good thing about the Psalms is that they not only help us express how we feel, they also act like guide rails, helping us reshape our perspective in the midst of whatever we're going through. Now, for this psalm, Psalm 42, what experience is our psalm relevant to? When's the time to sing it? It's not a song for us to sing when we miss somebody or when we're happy to be back in Australia. It's a song for when we feel forgotten by God. It's a song for when we just can't possibly bring ourselves to praise God. It's for when we pray and we get no answer from God. It's for when we're suffering and people around us say, oh, you're a Christian, aren't you? Where's your God now? It's for when we can't bear the thought of going to a church gathering and we wish we did want to be at church with God's people, but we wish we felt differently, but we don't. Or it's for when sadness and sorrow and distance fills our life. And Psalm 42 gives us words to say in those moments. It's being written from the perspective of a person who is far from God and his temple. They're experiencing that sense of being forgotten, abandoned. And this psalm is what they sing. And we won't have sort of sermon points as we go. We'll dive in, work our way through the psalm as a whole, and we'll close with five ways to respond when we feel forgotten by God. So let's get right in and have a look at the psalm. Verse 1 and 2 begin with, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for the living God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God?" Now, I've never seen a deer pant for streams of water. I think I've only ever seen a deer once or twice, just run in front of the car. But I've never seen a deer pant for streams of water, but I have seen a dog do it. You know, a thirsty, worn-out dog with its tongue out, panting for water. And the singer in the psalm, he pants for God like a deer or like a dog pants for water. There's almost a wildness and primalness to it. He desperately longs to have his thirst quenched in God. He knows everything else is a dry creek bed. The things of this life will never satisfy his soul, but God will. God's love is better than life itself. His goodness sweeter than honey. So the singer thirsts for God. But we find out very quickly he can't get to God. He sings, "My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God?" Tears have become his food. You know, they're streaming down his face. He can taste their salty flavor on his tongue. This is his diet day after day. And in his despair, those around him say, "Where's your God?" The voices are saying, "He's abandoned you, forgotten you. You're crying, but he's not coming." You know, I've been at this sort of point in my life before, and it's so hard to bear. But there's something that makes matters worse for the singer. As he pours out his heart, he remembers how good things used to be. So see verse 4, he says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise and among the festive throng." See, he remembers when he was in the temple praising God with everyone else. He's remembering the delight and joy he used to have in God. But probably that memory isn't comforting for him now. It may actually be making the pain worse because what he had has been lost. But he doesn't give up all hope. He doesn't descend into the pit of despair and set up camp down there. Instead, he begins to speak to his soul. See verse 5, he says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I'll yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." I got a friend who's been through some really terrible things in life, and he says, "I always hate it when people say there's light at the end of the tunnel." And fair enough, that, you know, that throwaway statement can just be so insensitive to say sometimes. But here, the singer's in the darkness of the tunnel, and he's singing to himself. He's saying to himself, "With God there's light. There really is light. There is. Trust him." And notice what the light is. It's not so much that he'd stop crying or his opponents would leave him alone. It's not that his circumstances would change. It's that one day in the future, he'll be able to praise God again. See, right now he can't praise God. He's far away. He's filled with despair. But that's what he looks forward to. See, because praise really is the completion of our joy in God. When you praise something, you enjoy it to its fullest. And the singer wants to enjoy God to his fullest. And the singer trusts that God will bring him to a place where he'll be able to praise again. It could be in this life. It could be in heaven, surrounded by a multitude of others. Wherever it is, the singer says to his soul, "Put your hope in God. I'll yet praise him." And notice that this is very different from saying to yourself, "Toughen up. Try harder." It's also very different to when people say stuff like, "Oh, everything will be all right in the end, don't worry." Now, that's just empty positivity. There's a chance everything will not be all right in the end. But the singer's not relying on his own toughness or on chance. Instead, the singer's saying to his soul, "Look away from yourself, look away from your circumstances, look to God, soul, put your hope in him." That's what he tells himself. And you'd think with that positive reminder, the psalm would sort of take an upward turn. You know, the singer's had his tears and despair. He's now reminded himself to trust God. So you'd expect he's going to move now into praise. But that isn't the way, that isn't the direction that the song goes in. Instead, it feels like as he sings, he's riding the waves of despair. Up and down is the trajectory. So picture being in the ocean and you're getting dumped by a big wave, and you get dumped by this big wave and you're rolling around under the water and you pop up for a bit of air. You see the sun and you catch a breath, but suddenly the next wave hits you and you go down again, up and down, up and down. That's what this singer's experience of life is like, and it's reflected in his song. So verse 6 is a bit like verse 5. He's still above water here. He says, my soul's downcast, so I'll remember God no matter how far away I am. He's still above water. But then verse 7, the wave rolls in and he descends back into the depths. We read, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. This is him submerged, engulfed by God's stormy water. No longer is his mind on the living water God gives. Instead, it's on his own overwhelming situation. But then verse 8, his head bobs up out of the water again and he remembers God's love and sovereign care. He sings, by day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me. He's back onto remembering God's goodness and love. But of course, another big wave rolls in and he's thrust down into the dark depths again, and this time further than ever before. And he says to God, his rock, the one on whom he relies more than anybody, he says to him this crushing line, this despair-filled statement. He says, God, why have you forgotten me? See verse 9 and 10 there? Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Not being polite with God here. He's not even being careful with his words toward God. He's saying it how he sees it. He's saying, God, you've forgotten me. Why? God, I'm in unbearable agony. I'm oppressed. Where are you? What are you doing? You're supposed to be my rock, my hiding place, the thing I can stand on, but you're nowhere to be found. God, why? And you'd think that in that dark place, he might give up altogether. But he doesn't. Instead, he bobs back up from under the wave and he repeats to himself exactly what he said before. He said, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I'll yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And that's how the psalm ends. Not so much with a resolution where the problem's fixed, but with a reminder to keep trusting. The singer's still in the churning of the waves. He still feels downcast, forgotten, abandoned, but he's telling himself to put his hope in God because God's going to come through. The singer might be drowning, but he trusts that God won't leave him. He'll send a life raft. So that's the psalm. It's the song of a person who feels forgotten by God, yet they keep telling themselves to put their hope in God. Now to finish off, what we're going to do is we're going to see five ways from the psalm that we can respond to despair. In preparing these, I found a John Piper resource on the psalms, really helpful, and I got some of the ideas from him. So here's five ways to respond when you feel forgotten by God. First way is to ask why. I think it'll come up on the screen. Ask why. And by that, I don't mean figure out all the circumstances contributing to your suffering, all the factors contributing to your suffering. I don't mean that. I mean, be like this singer. I mean, cry out to God and go, why? Say, God, where are you? See, it's in the Bible. We are allowed to talk to God like that. In fact, because this psalm uses those words, we're even encouraged to speak to God like this. Why have you forgotten me, God, is authorized language. See, the singer is a representative of all God's people, and there will be times in an ordinary Christian's life when they feel forgotten by God. But God doesn't want us to hide how we feel, suppress our emotions. Instead, he gives us words when we don't know what to say. He says, come and pray to me like this. Ask me where I am. Ask me why. So this is part of having a real relationship with God. We're broken people in a broken world. So we're going to find life extremely hard at times. But we're to live out our messy lives in the presence of God. So that's the first way to respond. Ask why. Our next way is to acknowledge God's love and control. Affirm God's love and control. So you notice how in verse 7, the singer says, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. Not the devil's waves, not the random waves of nobody, God's waves. And then in verse 8, you've got, by day the Lord directs his love. See, there's two truths about God that he's affirming here. That God is loving and that God's in control. See, our theology matters, our doctrine of God matters. This is especially true in suffering. So if we don't affirm that God is both loving and in control, we'll find it very hard to hope in him. There's not much point in trusting in a God who doesn't love you, nor is there much point in trusting in a God who isn't in control. But when you do believe those things, it's like an anchor that keeps you grounded. You know, it keeps you grounded while you're being tossed and buffeted by the messy waves of life. So that's the second way to respond. Affirm God's sovereign love. And the third way to respond is to preach to yourself. We saw how the singer spoke to himself. He said, "Soul, why are you so downcast?" And we need to learn to preach the truth to ourselves. The Welsh preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones, he says this as he reflects on Psalm 42, and I think maybe he goes a little too far at points, but I reckon the main gist is certainly right. This is what he says. He says, "Have you realized most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You haven't originated them, but they're talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Somebody is talking. Who is talking to you? Yourself is talking to you." And he goes on and he says, "Now this man's solution in Psalm 42 was this. Instead of allowing this self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. 'Why are you cast down, my soul?' he asks. His soul has been depressing him, crushing him, so he stands up and says, 'Self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you.'" And for us living after Jesus, the basis for our hope is Jesus' death and resurrection. So we don't just preach to ourselves, you know, sort of positive thoughts, it's all going to be all right. We don't just preach empty platitudes and meaningless stuff to ourselves, stay strong, all that sort of thing. No, what we do is we preach the gospel of Jesus to ourselves. See, that's where hope is. So when I feel forgotten by God, I say, "Soul, why do you feel forgotten? God didn't spare his one and only son, but gave him up for you. He won't forget you now. In fact, God promises he'll never forget me. He says my name is written in the palm of his hand, and the cross is proof of that. I say to myself, I am remembered and I am loved by God. And when I feel the darkness will never end, I say to my soul, it will end. Jesus rose from the dead. He was in the dark tomb, but he defeated death. Self, there is a day of joy to come. In this life or the next, it is coming. Hope in God, you will yet praise him. In fact, James, one day you will praise him forever without inhibitions, the consummation of your joy for all time." So that's the third way to respond. Preach to yourself. And the fourth way to respond is to keep on preaching to yourself. It's not a mistake that the singer repeats himself word for word in verse 11. It's not just purely for poetic effect or something like that. He repeats himself because he needs to keep preaching to himself. Our life is hard. Preaching to yourself is not some sort of quick fix or something like that. There'll be waves that will roll over us. We'll go under at times. Preaching to yourself is about reminding yourself to keep on trusting God's goodness again and again and again and again. See, it's part of how we persevere onward and onward. And we need one another's help in this, of course, as a community, as we go about this, reminding one another and helping one another, preaching to one another, helping each other to preach to ourselves. And the fourth way to respond is to keep on preaching to yourself. Fifth and final response is to be like a dog, by which I mean thirst for God. The singer, what we're to do is not mainly thirst for a change in our circumstance, but firstly to thirst after God. See, it's not wrong to want relief from suffering, far from it. Pain and suffering is terrible, and we really should want it gone. But the singer has an even deeper desire than relief and comfort. He's cultivated a desire for God. He knows his heart will be restless until it finds its rest in God. I think this desire for God, this thirst for God, it's sort of a strange sort of desire, like how we see in the psalm. It's not always met just when we want. Like if we had a desire for watermelon, you know, we could just go and eat that watermelon. The desire would be met. But a desire for God's not like that. There'll be times when it will feel fulfilled, times when it won't feel fulfilled. But nonetheless, it's a desire that we need to stoke and grow, because, you know, while a change in circumstances would be great, it's not for real the ultimate answer. See, God's the only one who really quenches our thirst. So be like a deer or like a dog when you're despairing, thirst after God. So there we are, Psalm 42, a song for us to sing when we feel forgotten by God. As we've seen, it's a psalm that both helps us express how we're feeling, but it also offers guide rails there for us. It shows us five ways we can respond when we feel forgotten by God. So the guide rails are ask why, affirm God's love and control, preach to yourself, keep preaching to yourself, and be like a dog thirsting after God. Years ago, I spent a few months teaching at a school on the border of Thailand and Burma. The students were all Karen people from the Karen Hill tribe. It's a singing culture. And so you'd hear them walking down the street singing. They'd be sitting there in a group, just chatting around the fire, singing. And whether they were in ones or twos or threes or whole big crowds, they'd be singing. They'd sing when they were happy, they'd sing when they were sad. Singing is their way of expressing their experience. And if you're feeling forgotten, if you're experiencing sadness and despair, let these words be your song. Whether you say them or sing them, it doesn't matter. Although there are on SCPC Facebook page a lot of song options of Psalm 42. You can go and listen to it and sing along to it if you want. But whether you say these words or whether you sing them, use them. Use Psalm 42. Use this psalm to help you keep putting your hope in God. Say to yourself, say to your soul, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I'll yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Let's pray. Father, at times life is so hard, and there are really real, hurtful and painful and terrible things in our life. Help us not to deny that or dismiss it, but to acknowledge it. And not to just acknowledge it to ourselves, but acknowledge it to you, and to call out and go, God, why? What are you doing? Where are you? Help us to put our experiences into words, and help us to use this psalm to do it, so that we might cry out to you just the way that you've given us here to do so. Father, I pray as well that you would help us not simply express ourselves, but also actually put our hope in you. Because in you there is a certainty and a security that comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and help us find that in him. We We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.